Malka.
Good afternoon. I hope you're having a good day.
Yes, thank you.
You are the first, but I expect others to arrive.
Okay.
I take it you've muted, and that's fine. Malka, there's no need to unmute. I'm just speaking to so there's not silence for so many minutes. We're just waiting for somebody. Two more minutes, I'm surprised. I guess maybe the Academy Awards has got everybody running in that direction.
That doesn't interest me at all.
Nor I. But that doesn't mean that others aren't. So
right.
It's kind of the only explanation I can give.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm late.
Well, I'm glad you arrived. We were waiting.
Oh, thank you.
So we can start with class 27, I think it's A. It opens up to chapter 25, which is the mountains, valleys, trees, and streams. And I'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ish hinte bit hiluur himud hiluur hiluur himud. Le'achta l'shem yud hei b'vav hei yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kanane aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananehu. I have decided to discuss a topic from my teacher regarding the mountains, the valleys, and streams that God created in the world, in this world. And this, the person describing this is the Rabbi Chaim Vital, the redactor of the teachings of the Ari. Just as the upper land, which is the Malchut, is divided into seven sections, which is why it is called Batsheva, the daughter of seven, so the lower land is divided into seven different continents, as is known. Nothing happens in the land below that is not the result of the actions of a heavenly minister above, who is appointed over it. My commentary. When the world was created, it started with one continent, and then this one migrated into its current seven continents. And this has been taught in Torah from the time of Adam. It is now being taught by the science of geology. Continuing, each of the large mountains and hills of the land have ministers assigned to them. Thus, each of the large mountains and hills of the land have ministers assigned to them. Depending on the height of one mountain over another, relatively speaking, that is how much higher its minister is than the one for the lower mountain. My commentary. This is a metaphor, since we do not know what the difference in physical height represents spiritually. I'd also point out that we've discussed in Torah that Mount Sinai was a humble mountain. And in the upper worlds, in the spiritual worlds, the attribute of humbleness would indicate a higher minister than another mountain that was taller. That's both a written and an unwritten comment. Continuing. Furthermore, each day these mountains either increase or decrease in size. Though it may not be noticeable to man, it is, as the sages say regarding the land of Israel, that it was once 400 parsot, but it shook and shrank. A parsa is approximately 4 kilometers. According to this, the land of Israel would be about half the size of America. My commentary. In the Parasha of Ekev, the land of Israel is referred to as approximately this size. It stretches from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea, and from the Nile to the mountains in the north of Lebanon. Today, the energy of Israel does not include these areas. But in the future, these areas will become the same spiritual energy as the land of Israel today. This is my opinion. This is my written commentary. The following is an unwritten commentary. Because we have an opinion in Torah that we're taught, and the Chabad Rebbe is the latest righteous person expressing this, that each physical location in the world is capable of becoming the energy of Israel. Continuing to read. There are some mountains that increase in size and become stronger as a result of the power of the heavenly minister over it. Sometimes the heavenly minister is eliminated, and so the mountain to which it was assigned will also disappear by joining to another mountain to which it is attached. It will then no longer be recognizable on its own. Sometimes they remove part of his rulership from him and divide the dominion, giving half to another minister. The result is a split in the mountain itself. Occasionally we see large rocks that have been split into two equal halves, with no residual rocks to be found. There is no spring on the lower land that does not have a corresponding light in the upper land. Springs correspond to the level of the springs of Mayim Nukvim, the female waters, in the upper land of Malchut, which descend from the depths to above on the face of the land. However, the rain that falls is the level of Mayim Duchrim, the male waters, and so you find that there is no spring on the lower land that does not have a corresponding light in the upper land. Mayim Duchrim female waters is the upward flow of sparks from Malhut to the Sephirot above, which brings them to unify. It is so represented by the flow of water from the hidden great abyss in the earth to the surface, whereas Mayim Dukhrim, the male waters, is that which reciprocally flows downward to bring blessing to the lower worlds. It is so likened to rain. Mayim Nukhrim ascends from Malhut to Zeranpin, the entire lifetime of the spring, of the stream. When a stream or well closes and dries up, so too does the source above, and Mayim Nukhrim no longer ascends. Sometimes we see that a stream is removed, producing water from a new source. Not removed, but renewed. This reveals that a light above has been renewed, or that a soul has caused male waters to ascend from Malhut to Zeranpin. There is also a minister appointed over each tree below, and when it is terminated, the tree dries up. Not only this, but every time a leaf falls from the tree, the minister above is accordingly weakened. From what we have just written, you will be able to understand many wondrous things. This revelation prompts the awareness to a whole new perspective on reality. Everything that happens before our eyes is the result of, and actually a lower expression of, what happens above. In so being, one can expand their operational mode to new vistas. My commentary. This whole section has taught you true cause and effect, and that Hashem is actually an excellent micromanager. The falling of a leaf is meaningful to you if you see it. There are many other secrets revealed in this section, and it is recommended to contemplate these teachings. That is the end of chapter 25. Does anyone have any questions? The next section is chapter 26, section 1. The title is The Basis of the Zivugim. There is no soul in the entire world, heaven forfend, that does not have at least one garment to wear in this world. The concept of spiritual apparel will be explained. Rabbi Schneur Zalman explains the need for clothes in the afterlife. The reward and delight of the world that is coming comes from the splendor of the Shekhinah that shines to the person. It is too bright for even the soul to bear. Just as physical garb protects from sunburn, so does spiritual garb shield from soul burn. The celestial garments serve as an intermediary, buffer, conduit to transmit the light to the self. The nature of the garments determine the nature of the transmission. Simple clothes grant simple lights of ideas. Psychedelic clothes afford kaleidoscope lights of concepts. And Abraham was aged, having come in years, and God blessed Abraham with everything. The sum total of the days of a person form for him his garment in the next world. According to how one lived his life, so is his attire. If he did not use a day properly, the part of the clothing formed by that day is defective. It could come out as a tear or a snag. My commentary. The above two paragraphs come from the Tanya's explanation for spiritual garments. The Zohar does tell us that our actions within the frame of a particular day of our lives does show as an incomplete garment. And what does this mean? In our other stories of the Arizal and the Hasidic masters, it indicates that the clothes that one wears on Shabbat is what will be the clothes that one will wear in the world that is coming. What does this mean? How are we to understand and reconcile all of these messages from different tzaddikim? Here is my understanding. We wear clothes to conceal and to protect our desire to receive, while it is not fully corrected. As we correct a part of the body, we will provide a piece of clothing for that part of the body. When we are fully corrected, we will have the appropriate dress for the world that we inhabit until we go to the next level of consciousness, where we will receive a protection or a concealment that is necessary for us in that what is to us a new world. The design of these clothes will be what is appropriate for our desires and the essence of that world or dimension that we are visiting or inhabiting. Continuing to read. It's hinted into in the Zohar, in the portion of Mishpatim, in the words of Rav Yava on the verse, he must not diminish her clothing. And seeing that big doe in Hebrew, he rebelled, also can be translated his garment against her. On the same level, this section of the Torah deals with the laws of slaves. Kabbalistically, it is talking about the slavery of souls in their Gilgulim, their reincarnation, as we saw in chapter 20. The owner of a maidservant is expected to take her as a wife upon maturity. If he is not willing to do this for her, it is figuratively called rebelling against her. The word that the Torah chooses to express this is bigdo, also meaning his garments, hinting to the spirit clothes that are affected by one's choices in life. They may dictate that the soul return in incarnation. Now we will explain this concept of clothing for the soul. All that happened to Joseph with the wife of his master Potiphar, which caused him to lose 10 drops of seed, sperm, from between his fingernails. As it says, the fingers of his hand spread. Also happened to the supernal Joseph, which is the Sephirah of Yesod. Hence, 10 drops and sparks of holy souls left the supernal Yesod, which is male. And were not received by the supernal female womb. Instead, they were taken by the Klipot. The patriarchs and the matriarchs are not just founding fathers. They are real metaphysical archetypes for their children to draw energy from. Their accomplishments elevated them to embody these levels. And the Partsufim are called after them. The soul of Joseph comes from the Sephirah of Yesod. He therefore was tested in this life in Yesod-oriented issues. Because he withstood these tests, he merited to embody this level. According to the Talmud, the result of Joseph's refusal to the wife of Potiphar still resulted in a minor defect of some type of involuntary remission from his nails. A man below is not allowed to ejaculate except inside of the female. If not, it causes a corresponding emission above without a union of the male and female coupling of the parts of him. And this causes the sparks rooted in his seed to fall into the Sitra Achra. I have already mentioned how many levels of parts of theme there are above that depend upon Zeranpin, and how each has a Yesod aspect. Thus, from every level of Yesod, of each one alluding to Joseph, there are five principal levels of Zivugim, of pairs above, and sparks went out from the Yesod of each one. This is the order according to their level. At different times of the day, at different times of the week, parts of him line up in specific orders of pairs called Zivugim. The nature of the particular pairing will determine the nature of the particular policy through which the world is run at that time. Whether one predominantly of mercy or judgment, leniency or stringency. In general, the female parts of theme process and actualize the flow they receive from the male parts of theme. They as if conceive and give birth to certain types of light and energy, creating various flows and opportunities that are in turn given to the realms beneath. The coming lesson will elaborate the specifics of how this works. My commentary. In Leviticus chapter 18 and chapter 20, there are many sexual relationships described between family members. These are referring to these parts of theme relationships, not to the physical family relationships. The study of astrology gives us the answers as to when these times are proscribed and when these relationships of the Sephirot are not referred to as the specific negative family relationships. One also needs to realize that what the Ari said above relates to our astrological influences as well. Thus, the terms clothing also relates to astrological influences, which changes each instant in a very orderly manner. This is a great secret, and I hope to teach this subject during the next year, if there is interest. One will find that Hebrew astrology is very different than Western or Eastern or Vedic astrology, since it is the seed level of these arts. Hebrew astrology is a science, when understood properly, which to my knowledge is only being utilized by very few Kabbalists. Most Kabbalistic students of Kabbalah learn from the other arts of astrology, and then modify this teaching by what they learn from the Kabbalah. Thus they get corrupted results. That's the end of section 1 of chapter 26. Does anyone have any questions? Well, let's learn about the coupling, the Zivugim, which is in section 2. Zivug 1. This is Zeranpin, which is called Israel, and its female counterpart is called Rachel. The time for this Zivug is during the Musaf prayer on Shabbat, at which time Rachel, who is usually only up to the chest of Zeranpin, grows to equal his full size, and a Zivug is able to occur with the real Yesod. Musaf means addition. Previously, the Ari mentioned additional Shabbat with regard to time immediately before and after Shabbat. This time has less sanctity than Shabbat proper. The concept of Kedusha, of the additional Musaf prayer on the Shabbat itself, is greater than the rest of Shabbat. Israel and Rachel, the highest coupling, pair at that time. My commentary. In the Keter, part of the Musaf Amidah, there is the word Yavo. At this time, we reach the highest point in the Shabbat, and we receive the Neshama, the additional soul, for Shabbat. Most people are never taught this connection, and if you do not have the consciousness, if you do not realize it, it does not happen. Zivug 2. This is the Zivug of Yaakov and Rachel during the weekday. Shachrit, the morning prayer. It occurs through his real Yesod. Like Shabbat Musaf, this is a morning pairing. To tell in the morning of your loving kindness. The morning of a time of mercy, in general, the feminine Parsufim lean towards judgment. The pairing process sweetens the judgment. The judgments of Rachel are stronger than those of Leah. The great awakening of mercy in the morning affords the ability to sweeten Rachel. Therefore, the pairing is then worth it. Therefore, the pairing is then with it. My commentary. Zivug 3. This is the Zivug of Yaakov and Leah, and it occurs after Chatzot, after midnight. At that time, both enlarge, spreading to the full length of Zeranpin. This unification happens as a result of his single Yesod. Night is a time of judgment. Midnight is the special golden time when things are turned around. Yaakov and Leah are parts of theme around Zeranpin that come from fallen lights of Abba. The movement of falling is a backside aspect that associates with night. The judgment is broken and sweetened at midnight. The gates open, opening the Parsufim to expand. This results in expanding the consciousness of those below. For this reason, midnight is the choice time for meditation and communion with the Maker of all. Zivug 4. This is the Zivug of Israel with Leah during the weekday Mincha, afternoon prayer. She only extends to the length of his upper half until his chest aspect. The Zivug then takes place through his Yesod that was originally towards Zeranpin, since he was only on the level of the six extremities, chesed through Yesod, as we explained regarding prayer. That's in a translation of the Sha'ar Kedusha Tefillah. We do have an English translation on the Hashem website of the Shaar Kedusha, except for the last section, which has not yet been translated into English. Leah is the upper feminine aspect. Rachel is the lower feminine aspect. The day starts in the morning with providence being channeled through the lower Rachel aspect. The coming afternoon period extends to a channeling through the Leah aspect. Without the midnight sweetening, it remains only in the other upper half of Zeranpin. The above does not contradict the idea that Mincha is a time of judgment. The sun rises in the morning, representing the rise of Chesed. At noon, it begins to wane and set, representing the decrease of Chesed. Both dynamics function simultaneously. And we find that Elijah was answered specifically at the time of Mincha, because the light is so high, it lends itself to lesser illumination, to lesser revelation, and appears decreased. Zivug 5. This is the Zivug of Yaakov with Leah during the weekday Arvit, evening prayer, which occurs over the upper half of Zeranpin and through another Yesod. This is the same coupling as at midnight, without the extension. It is best to sleep the first part of the night, then to awaken at midnight, and use the special time of goodwill for spiritual pursuits. Thus, there are five kinds of zivugim, and from them five types of yesodot. From each of these yesodot, wasted seed went out. These drops are the secret of the clothing of the souls, which always remain connected to the souls even after the resurrection, as is the case with the rest of the kinds of clothing for the other souls. That's the end of section two. Does anyone have any questions? Section three is titled Zivugim 1, or the first Zivugim. Now we will explain these five levels. The first level, which is the most elevated zivug of them all, is that of Israel with Rachel. Unlike the other zivugim, it has two levels. Within the true yesod of Israel, which joins with Rachel, there are five chasadim, plural for chesed, and five givorot, plural for givura, that flow from the mochin of Ima, and chasadim and givorot from the mochin of Abba. From the mochin of Ima and chasadim, and givorot from the mochin of Abba, for the yesod of Abba is clothed within Zeranpin, emanating light and reaching as far down as the end of the yesod of Zeranpin. Hence, there are 10 givurot, 5 from Abba and 5 from Ima, and they represent the level of the 10 martyrs, whose souls were enclosed within these drops. The 5 givurot of Abba, expressed as Rabbi Akiva, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshabev HaSofer, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha HaKohen Gadol, the high priest, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. it would seem to me that this is the actual order, since Rabbi Akiva was the chesed within Givorot. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was the Givorot of the Givorot, etc. The 10 martyrs were executed by the Romans after the destruction of the Second Temple. It should not surprise you that Rabbi Akiva's soul was from the source of Cain, which was Ema, as mentioned elsewhere. In the previous chapter, and then the clothing of his soul was from Abba. And this is not a problem for the reason that we mentioned elsewhere in the previous chapter. When discussing how the Chasadim of Ema could clothe the Yesod of Abba and be called the Givorot of Abba. Furthermore, within Yesod, everything becomes intermingled, which is why Joseph could be close to all the tribes, since he was from the level of Yesod. The rest of the clothing of the souls were for the 5 remaining martyrs, from the 5 Givorot of Ema. Since the 10 martyrs were clothed in the level of Givorot and Dinim, the judgments, they needed to be killed because that Klipot adheres strongest to the Givorot, and especially when from wasted seed, as great as these particular people. The 10 Chasadim of Abba and Ema were the 10 garments for the souls of the 10 students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, mentioned in the Holy Idra Rabbah and the Sefer HaTikunim. They were his son Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yitzhak, etc. The Shmuel Vital, the son of Rabbi Chaim Vital, says, this requires investigation, since other than the Rashbi himself, there were only 9 students, as mentioned at the beginning of the Idra Rabbah. It was taught that the colleagues of Rabbi Shimon were before him, and they were Rabbi Elazar, his son, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yaakov, Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Chizkiah Bar Rav, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yaisa. Furthermore, at the end of the Idra, it says, Rabbi Shimon told them, we are the 7 eyes of God, as it says, these 7, the eyes of God. Rabbi Abba said, we are 6 candles who get their light from the 7th. You are the 7th of them all. And that was after 3 of them had already died, which clearly indicates that there were only 9. If you want to say that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the 10th, it cannot be, since the Rashbi himself was on the level of Yesod and not included in the 10 Chasadim. Perhaps we can say that there were 8 when Rabbi Yesau, the small, joined them. And there is no proof that Rabbi Yesa completed the number of 10 aside from the Rashbi. Since they were on the level of Chasadim, they did not have to be killed because the Klipot were not strongly connected to them. However, the 3 that died, mentioned in the Holy Idra Rabbah, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yaakov, Rabbi Chizkiah, and Rabbi Yesa, were on the level of the 3 revealed Chasadim of Ema that emanated light into the Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod of Zeranpin. Thus they ascended above to give off light to Zeranpin, as we know. The upper two are hidden. When Sadiqim die, they awaken Mayim Nukbim, returning lights, female waters, from below to above. And this activates the Partsufim to unite. Ten entered the barn to learn with Rabbi Shimon. Only seven left. Their souls were elevated and powerfully connected above through listening to Rabbi Shimon. They departed in an intense state of rapture, causing a great unification above. This was the ultimate tikkun of their souls. Rashi was the level of Yesod from which the 10 drops came out, and he therefore had to teach them Torah and rectify them. However, the 10 martyrs from the Gibborot did not have a specific teacher for all of them, for the reason explained regarding the secret of tefillin, according to the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam on the verse, one who trusts in God will be surrounded by chesed. The reason discussed there is that with respect to the chasadim of Abba, they do not stand in the yesod of Abba, since it is a very narrow place. Therefore, they go out and surround yesod from without, which means that the chasadim of Abba stand within yesod of Ima and clothe the yesod of Abba, unlike the Gibborot, which lack unification, whether in yesod of Abba or Ima. Therefore, it was not possible to establish one teacher for all of them, for there is no one yesod unique at all, or unique to all of them, who could teach them. Yesod is the point that manifests the light of a partsuf outside, and so expresses through a teacher who gives his knowledge. Ahava, love, comes from the root hayev, to give. It is a motion of uniting in oneness. For this reason, chasadim work together in a unified way and are devoted to a single yesod, unlike Yivorot, whose nature is to break apart. From what my teacher once answered, I could see that this is not really the reason. For I once asked him regarding this, suggesting that two teachers could have existed corresponding to the two yesodot. But he wouldn't answer me, seemingly because he did not want to reveal everything regarding this matter, though I don't know why. Heaven allows certain secrets to be revealed and others not. I am adding, from Rabbi Berg, I learned that there are items of Torah that need to be revealed by specific souls. In fact, every soul has a new chidush, a new Torah to reveal. When that needs to be revealed to the world, it also is when that soul will need that action of revealing his or her chidush to achieve its correction, its tikkun. Since the 10 students of Rashbi were from the level of the chasadim and an excellent zivu, Israel with Rachel, all the secrets of Torah could be revealed to them without the need for any suffering. This will not be the case again until the generation of Mashiach, as mentioned in the Zohar in many places. My commentary. The above section is very complex. and needs the student to have a strong familiarity with the vocabulary of Kabbalah. Generally, there are five chassadim that get transferred down the five sefirot of Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod into Yesod, where they accumulate. This comes from the right column. The same thing happens from the left column. It does not happen in the central column, since the central column is composed of half right and half left. The mirror happens from the Gevurot. Thus, there is a Chesed of Gevurah and a Gevurah of Chesed. This is how 10 of each, Chesed and Gevurah, find their way into Yesod. On Rosh Hoshana Rabbah, we use 5 aravot, 5 willow branches, which are left column, to break the 5 Gevurot connected to the 5 final letters that are related to preparing for the year ahead. The majority is not taught or well understood by anybody except a Kabbalist, and that is why the commentary by Rabbi Auerbach is so difficult for us today. We do not have enough time to finish Zivugim 2 and 3. And I also think that with the difficulty of the section, we may need to start with Zivug 1 again, which is section 3. So I will call this at the end of the class, but does anyone have any questions?
Looks like I made lots of notes last time.
Did the notes help you this time, is the question?
I'll have to reread them. I have 3 pages of written notes for that chapter. And I think we did it twice. I think we went over it twice. It was so difficult.
It is a very difficult section. It truly is. Because it's really, you have to start with chapter 24, well, not 24, but with 25, all 3 sections. You have to kind of visualize them. And if you can't visualize them, you have to make many drawings to understand how each column is moving relative to the other column.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shortcut in this section to understand it. Any other sections or questions or comments or thoughts? You all have a good week. Shavua Tov.
Shalom. Thank you. Shalom. Thank you.